Hare Krishna. So we continue our discussion of the Mahabharata characters. We are discussing Dhritarashtra right now. And Dhritarashtra is, in one sense, the personification of Daiva, blaming destiny for one's own responsibility. So whenever Duryodhana wants something, he wants to do something, Dhritarashtra is too weak-hearted to allow it. And whenever he is doing something wrong, Dhritarashtra doesn't want the consequences to come, but he doesn't want to stop Duryodhana from doing the wrong also. In fact, Maitreya Rishi once comes and tries to give good advice to Duryodhana, and Duryodhana just insolently beats his thighs against his arms, against his hands, against his thighs to brag his power. Maitreya gets so angry. He says, "You fool, because you are so arrogant, your thigh will be broken and you will be killed." Dhritarashtra is alarmed. His heart almost stops beating in horror. He says, "Oh, sage, please forgive my son, please forgive my son. Please don't curse him to be destroyed like this." Maitreya Rishi says that, "No, only if he does what I am telling him to do, which is to give the kingdom back to the Pandavas, which he has unrightfully taken, then, only then will this curse not come true. Otherwise, his thighs will become the cause of his destruction." So, although he hears this and although he knows the power of the Brahmin's curses, but still, he doesn't do anything about it. Then, after Krishna goes back, then Dhritarashtra is still caught in lamentation, hoping for the impossible and fearing the inevitable. What is the impossible? That his sons will triumph, although they are evil, and although the Pandavas are virtuous, and although the Pandavas are powerful, still he hopes that somehow they will triumph. On the other side, fearing the inevitable, he knows that it's impossible, given the virtue and the power, both of which are present on the side of the Pandavas. He's in anxiety constantly. And then Vyasadeva comes to him. Now Vyasadeva has begotten him. And in one sense, Vyasadeva is like his father. Although he is considered to be a member of the Kuru dynasty, Dhritarashtra is a Kaurava, because he comes in the Kuru dynasty. So the word Kaurava has a generic meaning which refers to all the descendants in the Kuru dynasty. And it has acquired a specific meaning referring to the sons of Dhritarashtra. So the specific meaning is more contextual. It's more to contrast them from the Pandavas. So because they were ruling the Kuru kingdom for a long time, that's why they are known as the Kauravas. So Dhritarashtra is respectful to Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva gives him good advice. He says he has been getting good advice all the time, but he's never acting on the good advice. And Vyasadeva says that if you want to see the battle is now inevitable, then I can grant you eyes. And Dhritarashtra thinks about it. His life has been in darkness. Darkness has been physical, visually he has not been able to see, but there is a much greater darkness inside. Because he knows that those whom he is so attached to, they are going to die. Thinks, "I did not see my sons ever living. I don't want to see their death." So he thinks and he says, "Oh, please grant vision to Sanjay. Through his eyes, I'll be able to see. Let him narrate what happens on the battlefield of Kurukshetra." So Dhritarashtra sits in his assembly, in his palace, and Sanjay narrates to him. And this is how actually the Bhagavad Gita is also spoken. So what we are discussing right now is from the Udyoga Parva, which is the fifth Parva, and then the sixth Parva is the Bhishma Parva, in which Bhishma is the commander. The war starts and the war goes on for 10 days. So Sanjay narrates to Dhritarashtra based on his great vision which he has got. So with that vision, he speaks and he narrates. And Dhritarashtra is very eager that somehow my sons should win. And his partiality is seen right in the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita also. So Dhritarashtra is the beginner of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita begins with his Dhritarashtra vacha dharma kshetre kurukshetre samaveta yuyutsava mamakah pandava chaiva kimakurvat sanjaya. So kimakurvat sanjaya, what happened on the war field? When who assembled? Samaveta, they assembled. Who was they? Yuyutsava mamakah pandava chaiva. So he doesn't consider Pandavas to be his own. He considered my own are the Kauravas, are my sons and the Pandavas. What happened? This is a peculiar question which reflects his mentality also. He's himself stating that they have come for a fighting, and then he's asking what happened. It's like if everybody assembles in a hotel or a place where food is being served, and everybody sits down for eating food, and then what happens, somebody asks. Well, what is going to happen is that person is going to eat. Unless one is expecting that some other event is going to happen over there, one would not ask such a question. So Dhritarashtra is fearing that because of the auspicious vibrations present at the holy place of Kurukshetra, Dharmakshetra it is, the Pandavas may have some inordinate influence over there. He feels that influence will be inordinate, and Duryodhana may agree for peace, and that's why he asked this question. And in answer to his question, Krishna, Sanjaya speaks, and the Bhagavad Gita also is spoken at that time. Now significantly, we see that the hearing the Bhagavad Gita also doesn't change Dhritarashtra's disposition. So at one level, the Bhagavad Gita is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. At another level, it's a conversation also between Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya. Sanjaya is not the speaker of the Gita, but he's the transmitter of the Gita. And Krishna's message illumines Arjuna, but it doesn't illumine Dhritarashtra. Why is that? Because Dhritarashtra wants to hold on to his attachments. So Sanjay speaks the message, and what is the reaction of Sanjay? In 18.76 and 77, in the 700th verse of the Gita is 18.78, where Sanjay answers Krishna's Dhritarashtra's question by saying that wherever there is Krishna and wherever there is Arjuna, there will be victory. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shreer Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tirmatir Mama. And there will definitely be victory. But while admitting this, he also tells before that his own personal response to what he has seen and heard. He Kimakurvata is asked, he's telling us there is going to be victory for the Pandavas. That's the unspoken question which Dhritarashtra is asking, and he's telling a prophecy that there will be a victory for the Pandavas. But before that, he says in the previous two verses that Rajan Samsmritya Samsmritya Samvadamim Adbhutam. So he says that as I'm this wonderful conversation that I'm remembering, Keshava Arjunayo Punyam Rishyami Cha Muhurmuhu. As I'm remembering this wonderful conversation of Keshava Arjunayo Rishyami, I'm feeling thrilled again and again. And then again, Rishyami Cha Puna Puna. He says that Rishyami, I'm again and again delighting. Tatya Samsmritya Samsmritya Rupamatya Adbhutam Hare Vismayo Me Mahan Rajan Rishyami Cha Puna Puna. So Sanjay is remembering the message, and Sanjay is also remembering the vision. The vision was especially the Vishwarupa which he has seen, and he's feeling thrilled. So actually, if one is open, then the message of Krishna, open-minded, then the message of Krishna can illumine one and thrill one. But one is closed because of one's attachment, then nothing happens. So Dhritarashtra illustrates that also, how attachment can blind one even to the supremely illuminating message. And then as the war goes forward, and Dhritarashtra hears, one day when the first day it goes off very well, Bhishma is unstoppable and he devastates the Kaurava force, Pandava forces, and Dhritarashtra is jubilant. Yes, he says nobody will be able to stop Bhishma. And then whenever there is a reversal for his side, his heart starts sinking again, his heart starts rising. And when he hears that Bhishma has fallen, he falls himself unconscious in a swoon. He says, how can the Grand Sire have fallen like this? And then he hears about the fall of Drona eventually. So actually, as he sees one by one, all the warriors falling, his spirits sink lower and lower and lower. And finally hears about how Karna falls, and then Dushyasana is killed, and then Duryodhana is killed. And then when he's okay, when everybody, all the sons are dead, he's utterly mortified, devastated, and he's sunk in the gloom of dejection. And at that time, he also decides to go to the banks of the Ganges for performing the last rites. And before this happens, Yudhishthira requests Krishna to go to give a message to Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. Although Yudhishthira is himself so virtuous, he's still concerned that that Gandhari especially should not curse him. And he, therefore, to pacify them, he sends Krishna. And Krishna goes and speaks words to Dhritarashtra. He says, "Oh Dhritarashtra, you should not blame the Pandavas. No, it is your own sons who are responsible for their own destruction. They were given good advice, they did not listen to that advice. And even you were told to restrain them, but you did not restrain them. So they have met the end which they have only created by their misdeeds. Do not blame the Pandavas for this. Do not blame Yudhishthira for this." So Dhritarashtra hears this, and although he doesn't want to admit the truth of Krishna's words, he recognizes that they are true. And Dhritarashtra, Krishna says that, "I will leave," and then Dhritarashtra goes. Krishna goes back, and meanwhile Ashwatthama kills the remaining Kaurava Pandava warriors, including the sons of the Pandavas, and then he flees and he is punished. We'll discuss this all this past time, but here Kripa and Kritavarman, who have assisted Ashwatthama in his ghastly act, they come to Dhritarashtra and they tell him what has happened. And when Dhritarashtra hears about how practically everybody has been wiped out, then he tells Kripacharya that, "At least go back to the kingdom. And Kritavarman, you can go back to Dwarka." So he goes to the banks of the Ganga, and he offers the water. And there at that time, now because he is blind, he cannot very properly do the funeral rites. So he has one more son, Yutsu. Yutsu is a son that Dhritarashtra had begotten through a lady in waiting, through a maid servant. Gandhari's pregnancy had gone on for a very long time. At that time, Dhritarashtra had begotten a child through a maid servant, and that was Yutsu. Now, Yutsu did not share the evil disposition of the Kauravas. And just before the war started, he, acting according to his conscience, went to the side of the Pandavas. And Yudhishthira welcomed him, and Yudhishthira told him that you will be the only survivor, you will have to take care of your parents, and you will have to do the last rites of the Kauravas. And that's what exactly happened. So now Yutsu was never as close to Dhritarashtra as the Kauravas were, but he took care of Dhritarashtra whatever he could. And then when finally the Pandavas came forward and they met Dhritarashtra, so Dhritarashtra, he tried to put aside his feelings of distress and anger at the death of his sons, and he tried to have good feelings. So he tried to bless Yudhishthira and Arjuna, but towards Bhima he felt such anger. Bhima had killed all his sons as per the vow that Bhima had taken, and he wanted to embrace all of them. And now the embrace was supposed to be a gesture of goodwill, but he had ulterior motives. And Krishna noticed what was going on in the mind of Dhritarashtra, and he told Bhima to wait. And in Duryodhana's palace, he had made an effigy of Bhima, which he would pound in his anger, pound and pound and pound again in his anger, in his hope that one day there will be a fight in which he will pound Bhima like that. And Krishna summoned by his mystic power that effigy, and that effigy came right in front, and it was exactly similar to Bhima. That it was not exactly effigy, it was actually a statue, proper statue. And Dhritarashtra was so blinded with anger, he was trying to be cordial, but when Bhima came forward, to embrace, all his anger just burst out. And when the statue of Bhima came, that is what Krishna arranged to have it brought in front of him, just embraced with such force. Now Dhritarashtra was a Kshatriya and he was extremely powerful. And he just, with the force of his embrace, he just crushed the statue. And as the statue got crushed and tumbled to powder, Dhritarashtra himself was exerted by that. And he started vomiting blood and he fell back. And as he fell back, as his anger got over, it was a blinding anger that came over him. As the anger got over, immediately he became remorseful. Alas, what have I done? And Krishna told him, "Oh king, do not worry. Bhima is safe. Knowing that you would be angry, I had a statue brought. And then Sanjay touched the head of the shoulder of Dhritarashtra and he says, "Oh king, please do not be angry like this." Oh, Krishna also said the same thing. "Oh king, why are you blaming the Pandavas for the deeds of your sons?" And Dhritarashtra looked down and he said, "Yes, that is true. Your words are right. I was overcome by anger." So, you know, although one can say that I was overcome by anger, but what kind of character does it speak of that when somebody has come to greet and one is supposed to embrace, at that time one has such a desire to crush a person to death? So the attachment that he had to Dhritarashtra, Krishna describes that kama and krodha both go together. In the Bhagavad Gita 3.37 he says kamesha krodesha. So when there is attachment, then the attachment is frustrated, it leads to anger. Sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodho vijayate. So he had attachment to Duryodhana, and when that attachment was frustrated, that attachment expressed itself as rage. And with that rage, he tried to destroy Bhima. Now at that time, Gandhari, she tried not to feel angry. But still, she could not restrain her anger. And she cursed Krishna. He says, "Krishna, you could have stopped me. You could have stopped the war and you could have avoided the destruction of my sons. Why did you not do it? Because you did not stop it. Therefore, just as I have been left seeing the death of all my family members, you will also have to see similarly the death of all your family members." So Krishna told that, you know that I tried my best, but still I accept your curse. Actually, Gandhari, because she had been chased to Dhritarashtra in very demanding situations, chased not just in terms of the vows of marriage, but going beyond the call of duty, she had accepted blindness and she had been by his side through all these times. So that chastity had given her enormous power. And her curse was to be feared. Of course, no curse can cause fear to Krishna, but Krishna accepted that curse. Krishna said that, actually, the Yadus are extremely powerful and nobody will be able to destroy them. Your curse is the arrangement by which their presence will be removed from the earth. I accept your curse. So Dhritarashtra here was such a person that his anger was so great, he wanted to kill his own cousins. You know, what Duryodhana had been scheming to do throughout Dhritarashtra was very much in cahoots with that. He may not have been actively doing it, but his heart was there, and here his heart came out. So he was weak, and because he was so attached to somebody who was wicked, he was also given to moments of viciousness, wickedness. So Yudhishthira was so noble that he said that when he was enthroned as the king, he said, "Officially, I may be the king, but with respect to etiquette, all of us will consider the king, Dhritarashtra, to be the king, and he should be given all the respect." In the assembly, he announces in a public assembly that everybody should honor Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra was so attached that he actually continued to live enjoying royal comforts. And in fact, Yudhishthira treated him with such deference, with such respect, that this much respect even his own sons had not given him. And remembering how his sons had been quite insolent, and Yudhishthira was so respectful, and he felt remorse at the way he had treated Yudhishthira. But his attachment to royal comforts was such that he continued enjoying this hospitality, but he could feel no affection for Bhima. And Bhima also, although he agreed to Yudhishthira's instruction and let Bhima, let Dhritarashtra enjoy royal comforts, but he could not tolerate the idea of somebody who had so who had been so much a part of the schemes that had caused them so much misery. To see such a person being honored, Bhima could not tolerate it. And Bhima would secretly do many things to displease and hurt Dhritarashtra. You know, in the hearing of Dhritarashtra, he would beat his arms and he would say, "These are the arms with which I crushed and destroyed all the sons of Dhritarashtra." When Dhritarashtra would hear this, he would feel great pain. But thinking that Yudhishthira has already been so kind to me, he did not speak anything further. And finally, he lived on for many years like this. And as he was living for many, many years, enjoying royal comforts, although he had been the person who was had been a part of the scheme to destroy those who were the rulers now. Finally, Vidura came over there. And when Vidura came, the Pandavas were delighted to see him. They honored him. And Vidura spoke strong words of instruction. After the initial greetings got over and they were sitting in an assembly, Vidura spoke to Dhritarashtra. He said, "O king, what are you doing? Now, death may come upon you any time. And you are already blind from birth. And now you are finding it difficult to speak. Your memory has become weak. You are simply bringing up mucus. Your digestion has gone down. Death awaits you at any time. And yet you stay in another's house, eating that which has been thrown by Bhima." Now, Vidura spoke cutting words, just that which would be necessary to cut off the attachment of Dhritarashtra. And as he spoke strongly, Dhritarashtra felt his attachments falling away. And he resolved that, "I must depart." And he called Vidura to his chambers, and then both of them discussed, and they planned that they will live secretly. Yudhishthira would still not want Dhritarashtra to go, and Yudhishthira would be concerned for his welfare. So Vidura and Dhritarashtra planned, and one day they secretly left. And they secretly left. They did not tell anyone. And Dhritarashtra had given an instruction that he wanted to be in seclusion and nobody should disturb him. So Yudhishthira was waiting. And one day, it was actually the Shraddha of Duryodhana's sons, of Dhritarashtra's sons, that is Duryodhana and others. It was time when their last rites, the day when those 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, many years, on the day when the last rites are performed, or the day when a person has died, the last rites, that those persons are remembered, and certain religious rituals are performed on that day. It's called Shraddha. So he had never missed this, and yet this day, out of seclusion, Dhritarashtra did not come. And intrigued and slightly troubled, Yudhishthira went to Dhritarashtra's palace. And when he went there, he saw Sanjay was there all alone. He says, "Sanjay, what has happened?" Sanjay was almost on the verge of tears. He says, "Oh, Dhritarashtra has cheated me. Throughout my life I served him, but now he has left and gone away." And he's gone away. Yudhishthira was even now alarmed. He says, "Where has he gone?" When Narad Muni gave him instructions about whether Dhritarashtra has gone, and then Yudhishthira was pacified. This we'll discuss more when you talk about Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira's reaction and his attitude. But along with Vidura, Dhritarashtra went, and Gandhari also went. And actually, Kunti also went with them, it is described. But important thing here is that Dhritarashtra finally gave up his attachment. So Dhritarashtra had to lose everything before he lost his blindness. He had to lose everything before he lost his blindness. He had to lose all his sons. Not one of them survived. He had to lose everyone. After losing everyone, what remained was still his attachment to the royal comforts was there. And he was living in a very unbecoming way for a member of a royal family to live on the money of those whom he had opposed and those whom he had conspired to kill. But finally, when Vidura spoke at that time, because now there was no hope for him to enjoy, all his sons had died already. So finally, his attachment got cut, and then he performed severe austerities. And in this, by performing severe austerities, he kindled a flame from within, and that flame illumined his body. That flame consumed his body, and he gave up his mortal frame. Gandhari also entered into that flame with him, and she also departed from the world. And Dhritarashtra, although he had acted in evil ways, at the very least, he acted in a worthy way in death. So he gave up his attachments and departed in a way that was worthy of a Arya, of a person who knows the spiritual values of life. A person doesn't stay attached at home, but he leaves home. Dhritarashtra, at least at the last years of his life, he left home. And he attained an auspicious destination because of that act of dharma that he performed. So Dhritarashtra demonstrates how attachment is so blinding, and how they can take such a heavy price. And giving up the attachments may not happen very easily, even when one has good advice. And if he had acted so firmly earlier, all the destruction could have been avoided. But he could not act because he was too attached, and he was attached to his attachments. He was not ready to give up his attachments. He was not ready to reject Duryodhana. But finally, when Duryodhana had died, then there was no hope for the attachments to be revived. And then when Vidura came and gave strong instructions, at last, at that time, he was awakened. And in this way, Dhritarashtra attained auspiciousness. So the point here is very important to understand, that actually our attachments hold us back, and we have to give up our attachments. So we all have to ask ourselves, you know, how much will I have to lose before I lose my blindness? Now, all of us have our attachments which make us blind. Now, there are petty things of the world that we are attached to, and because of that, we are often ready to do wrong things, and we are ready to give up the right things. We are all parts, we are all souls, we are all parts of Krishna. And Krishna is inviting us back to the spiritual world. And we can all, by practicing devotional service enthusiastically, redirect our heart towards Him and return back to Him. But we have our attachment. We think, this will make me happy, that will make me happy, that will give me pleasure. And the hopes for pleasure in this world keep us in this world. And those hopes are based on an illusion. That illusion is caused by attachment. So blindness means to not see what is right in front of our eyes. So in that sense, all of us are blind, because attachment to the things of this world is going to lead to frustration. But we are unable to see it. Why are we unable to see it? Because we just want to hope against hope. Somehow our attachments will give us pleasure. But there are great saintly teachers. There are the scriptures who give this message of God. And if we hear that message, then we can also become illumined. And we can decide that I have lost enough. We have been in this material existence for a long, long time. And as long as they're attached to material things, especially those material things which take us away from Krishna, which keep us away from Krishna, then we will stay on material existence. So how much will I have to lose before I lose my blindness? If we ask the question to ourselves in a serious way, then I have lost enough, so many lifetimes in this material existence, and this lifetime also so many opportunities lost. We don't have to renounce the world like the Dhritarashtra has renounced, but we have to renounce those things of the world which make us act adharmically, which keep us away from Krishna, and we redirect our heart towards Krishna. Then we can attain an auspicious destination. And of course, the Dhritarashtra, because of his animosity towards Krishna, and Krishna's, not exactly towards Krishna, towards Krishna's devotees, did not immediately attain the spiritual world, but he was elevated. Now, if we can redirect our heart towards Krishna, we can attain the supreme destination and return back to Krishna for a life of eternal happiness. So, Dhritarashtra, our body is also like a Rashtra nation. We are all attached to the body. And attachment to the body will cause us to get another body, and another body, and another body. It will go on like that. Because it's not just the body, it's the principle of bodily enjoyment that causes us to take again and again life and birth in the cycle of birth and death. So to the extent we can give our blindness and turn towards Krishna, then we can also become free from our attachments. And the earlier, we don't have to pay such a big price. We don't have to lose so much, as much as Dhritarashtra lost. The earlier, the better. That is. And that is what is the message that we learn from Dhritarashtra. By learning what he did, we learn what we should not do. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.